ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 We are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 820 and text number 28. This is the last verse of this chapter, the attaining of the Supreme. The process of Bhakti Yoga is said to be superior. So this particular verse is confirming that. Vedesu yagyesu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam atyeti sarvam tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthan upaiti chadyam. A person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing austere sacrifices, giving charity or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all this. And at the end, he reaches to the Supreme Eternal Abode. In the purport, Prabhupada says that this verse is a summation of 7th and 8th chapters, which particularly deal with Krishna consciousness and devotional service. One has to study the Vedas under the guidance of a spiritual master and undergo many austerities and penances while living under his care. A brahmachari has to live in the home of the spiritual master just like a servant, and he must beg alms from door to door and bring them to the spiritual master. He takes food only under the master's order, and if the master neglects to call the student for food that day, the student fasts. These are some of the Vedic principles for observing brahmacharya. After the student studies the Vedas under the master for a period from 5 to 20 years, but he may become a man of perfect character. Study of the Vedas is not meant for recreation of armchair speculators, but for the formation of character. After this training, the brahmachari is allowed to enter the household life and marry. When he is a householder, he has to perform many sacrifices so that he may achieve further enlightenment. He must also give charity according to the country, time and candidate. Discriminating among the charity is goodness, in passion and in ignorance as described in Bhagavad Gita. Then after retiring from the household life, upon accepting the order of Vanaprastha, he undergoes severe penances. Living in the forest, dressing with the tree bark, not shaving, etc. By carrying out the orders of brahmacharya, household life, Vanaprastha and finally sannyas, one becomes elevated to the perfectional stage of life. Some are then elevated to the heavenly kingdom, and when they become even more advanced, they are liberated in the spiritual sky, either in the impersonal Brahmajyoti or in the Vaikuntha planets or Krishna Loka. This is the path outlined by the Vedic literature. The beauty of Krishna consciousness, however, is that by one stroke, by engaging in devotional service, one can surpass all the rituals of the different orders of life. The word idam viditva indicates that one should understand instruction given by Sri Krishna in this chapter and the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. One should try to understand these chapters not by scholarship or mental speculation, but by hearing them in association with the devotees. Chapters 6 through 12 are the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The first 6 and the last 6 are the coverings of the middle 6 chapters. They are especially protected by the Lord. If one is fortunate enough to understand Bhagavad Gita, especially these middle 6 chapters in the association of the devotees, then his life is at once become glorified beyond all finances, sacrifice, charity, speculation, etc. For one can achieve all the results of this activity simply by Krishna consciousness. One who has a little faith in Bhagavad Gita should learn Bhagavad Gita from a devotee. Because in the beginning of the fourth chapter, it is stated clearly that Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotees, and no one else can perform a perfect understanding to the purpose of Gita. One should therefore learn Bhagavad Gita from a devotee of Krishna, not from mental speculators. This is a sign of the faith. When one searches for a devotee and finally gets a devotee's association, one actually begins to study and understand Bhagavad Gita. By advancement in association of the devotees, one is placed in devotional service, and this service dispels all one's misgivings about Krishna or God and Krishna's activity, form, pastimes, name and other features. After these misgivings have been perfectly cleared away, one becomes fixed in one's study. Then one relishes the study of Bhagavad Gita and attains the state of feeling always Krishna conscious. In the advanced stage, one falls completely in love with Krishna. This highest perfectional stage of life enables the devotee to transfer in Krishna's abode in the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan, where the devotee becomes eternally happy. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of attaining the Supreme. So, this is a very important and conclusive verse. Vedeshu yagyeshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam anteti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthanam upeti chadyam. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militanyena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakamitamscha. Titva Yogi Param Sthan Upeti Chadyam. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militanyena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakamitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Sri Radha Kanta Namasate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, process of Krishna consciousness is superior to all the other purificatory processes, namely the studies of Vedas, performing fire sacrifices, yajneshu, and daneshu, by purification, by giving to the charity. Yajna dana tapakriya natyajyam iti, Krishna says, never give that up. But how they have to be performed according to time, place and circumstances is an art of living. One keeps on doing the study of Vedas, including academic study also. It's coming under study of Vedas. See, if economy, politics and everything comes under the Vedic instruction, whatever subject we take, is also a systematic study under the Vedic guidance. But whether such study is purifying us or not, that is a question. $64,000 question is called, whether are we purified by the study? Because Vedas are filled with three modes of material nature, and they successively teach us how to elevate from lower occupation to higher, or it teaches the basic religiosity and gradually elevating for contemplation through these purificatory processes. One cannot achieve the higher status of understanding without being purified. It's not an armchair philosophy, Prabhupada says, that we will study ourselves and will become elevated. No, never. The study is abhyas. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gamina. Abhyasa yoga yukta. One has to be connected with the Supreme through his process of study. Because the end result, or you have a goal, and goal is the Supreme. Even through material studies, if the goal is Supreme, then somehow or another, some kind of linkage will be there, and you will be able to utilize that results of such study in service of Krishna. Because the linkage is there. If we totally discard the linkage with Krishna in our material study, even, you know, there is no purification. Moreover, it may elevate us some financial or economy, but it is temporary, just like you are approaching a demigod. You are approaching Mother Saraswati. She is the goddess of learning. But what learning? Saraswati, virtually, she is the wife of Lord Krishna. Hradaya Samvit. She is the manifestation of Samvit energy, the internal potency of Lord Krishna. This Samvit energy is completely cognizant. Because Krishna has this energy, Samvit, he knows everything. He is omniscient. And a fragmental part and parcel is also having the same characteristic of knowledge acquiring. Because he has it. But this knowledge acquiring potency is being, stunted in the material nature. To acquire knowledge through the material medium, Krishna gave us senses. And senses become dynamic by the desire of the soul. So therefore the senses are important organ for us to get the knowledge about ourselves. Rather, in the influence of these three modes of material nature, the bombardment of the influences of this mode of goodness, passion and ignorance is so much on the senses, the five senses. This bombardment distracts our goal. And instead of getting the knowledge through it, we become obsessed by the objects of sense gratification. Objects of sense gratification. Instead of getting the knowledge through it, we become obsessed by sense gratification. The senses are not doing their job properly, because our desire has been perverted. We think whatever we observe through senses is for my enjoyment. So the whole purpose of studies of Vedas, or for any material study, because Vedas are filled with three modes of material nature. They can elevate our material position, but gradually rise up to the point of Krishna consciousness. But one has to go through purificatory processes. So study of Vedas is meant for purifying ourselves. Instead we get entrapped into making our senses more contaminated, more uncontrolled, and we end up, become victim of the sense gratification. So that purpose is not approved by Vedas. Vedas are supposed to be meant for civilization, the upward, progressive aspect of the humankind. So if one diligently studies the Vedas but still remain under the three modes of material nature, you know, that is taking long time for him to purify. So he has to apply simultaneously with the studies of the Vedas yajna, the performance of sacrifice. So sacrifices are also performed, and one has to become expert to get the result of the sacrifice. Then one has to be charitable, because all these activities in material nature always yield fruits. So how to get disentangled from the fruits? One has to be charitable. So these are three compulsory processes that one has to go through. If one is gainfully employed, then he has this obligation. And it will purify. So he should keep on going. But when one misses the point of purification is essential, then what happens to him? He completely gets entrapped. He thinks the Vedas are simply flowery language, so I simply talk about the Vedas rather than the purpose of the Vedas. Right? Then one simply becomes a karmakandi by performing some kind of fruit yielding endeavors. Anyway, through the guidance of the Shastra, the Vedas, but still attachment to the fruits are there. You know. And if one has acquired more, then and then he will become charitable. Otherwise he doesn't know whether this charity is going to help me. But Krishna is advising Arjuna that Traigunya Vishaya Veda Naistra Gunya Bhava Arjuna. The Vedas are written under the influence of the three modes of material nature. So all the guidance that Vyasadeva has given is to make your material successive upgrading. Not more than that. And that is one of the greatest defect Narad Muni showed as a spiritual master to his disciple Vyasadeva. What have you done good? You think you have done very nice by dividing all these Vedas and into Puranas and Samhitas and histories. What have you done? You simply kept them entrapped in the three modes of material nature and try to elevate their, you know, physical condition. But what about the spiritual? By whose energy you have been able to do that? Because Vyasadeva was Shakti Avesh Avatar. So Narad Muni is reminding him that you haven't created any Shastra for the cause of all causes, which is beyond the three modes of material nature. Naturally you will be dissatisfied. You know, if we try to understand the transcendental nature, try to explain the transcendental nature, and try to be in that transcendent nature, it pleases the Supreme Lord so much that He awards all the results of these three in that process. So here Krishna says, and that transcendental process is called pure devotional service. The transcendental process is called devotional service. No other one is transcendental. Yajna is not transcendental. Tapa is not transcendental. Dana is not transcendental. But devotional service is. So those who are directly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, they are on the transcendental platform. And these activities are purifying plus pleasing to Lord Krishna. So naturally all the benedictions which are which were difficult to obtain through the studies of Vedas, and yet they were able to, because it requires so much qualification, and they were able to do it. All the results are automatically obtained through by becoming devotee. You don't have to perform yajna separately. You know, today I was commenting, he performed yajna. He did so much elaborated establishment and invoking all the elements, of course, Vishnu Tattva. But he cut short in Parampara Yajna, the last part. He chanted only 4 verses. But generally, if Prabhupada would have done, you know, he would go straight to Parampara Yajna, that's it. You don't need more. Visvakshen, Sthapayami, and so much puja and other things were done. So most of the time has gone in that. Then he invoked the earth element, and then all other devatas, and Varuna Deva was established. He took how much? If you realize, he took more than 2/3 of the time in doing those things. Right? But Prabhupada would do Parampara Yajna straight. Om Ajnanati Mirandasi. Prabhupada wouldn't go into. So, because that is pure devotional service. Of course, here all Vishnu Tattvas are there, but going through establishment and elaborate, you know, mantras make you offering the flower at every time and this and that. But when it came to the real crux, he chanted only 4 verses. So, that is a series of mantra, right? So the idea is that pure devotional service, even though it may be simple, but because it is systematically geared to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead through proper chain of disciplic succession, it gives the same result. Of course, all the pujaris, those who are learning some extras, you know, they want to put up a little show, that brahminical nature, you know. He has to cut short even for the flowers. Come on, just anyway. But the idea is that. We were also talking about the spontaneous devotional service. Spontaneous devotional service will transgress all the rules and regulations. But you can't enter into that without proper qualification. One has to follow the rules and regulations. One has to even become exemplary and keep on following rules and regulations, even though one is liberated. Because that the spontaneity is within, inside rather than external manifestation. That is, you know, very important, because it is forever. External may be temporary. The symptoms of spontaneous devotional service were discussed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu today. So we were talking. So those symptoms can momentarily arise, but the effect in the mind is forever. So that keeps the devotee always in tune. You know, while externally, in mind is obsessed by the 3 modes of material nature. So even though seemingly there are some ecstatic symptom because of contaminated nature of devotional service, mixed with three modes of material nature. Sometimes false symptoms of ecstasy arise. Somebody start crying, or he got the hairs on his body raised, you know, as if the adrenaline is pushing. It's also happening during that time. You know, same symptoms will come. But because they are also short-lived, but their impression in the mind will be taken over by the three modes of material nature. And therefore, person immediately gets entrapped into materialistic activity instead of remaining liberated. That the other devotee, you know, who always remains in liberated state. So in this way, Krishna is telling Arjuna, don't indulge in the matters of three modes of material nature. You just become absorbed in my mind. You know, think of me always. Offer me your homage to me only, and worship me. That is pure devotional service. And here Krishna is concluding that all the results, which are purifying result for those meritorious activities of austerity, you know, sacrifice and charity, that will immediately come. You know, when person is willing to, you know, perform devotional service for pleasure of Lord Krishna. So this is what is told here. Anybody has any question?
Maharaj, I want to ask in Gujarati, if you don't mind.
Okay, I'll translate into English.
Nana, apne kya jem apne lalan ni kare che seva, okay, pushta vela hoy apne. To ema to jem apna ba ke hoy, to they are like doing initially they start with like lalan ni seva like nano. Pachi loko etla bada devoted thai jaye em. To they don't follow any rules and regulations like such. So
એ લોકો લિબરેટેડ થઈ ગયા હોય છે કે સંસારમાં ખૂપેલા હોય છે?
સંસારમાં તો હોય છે, એટલે આપણે ગ્રસ્ત હોય, પણ દે આર લાઈક મારા લાલન, મારે આમ કરવું છે મારા લાલન માટે, એટલે દે આર સો મચ ડિવોટેડ ટુ ધેમ.
પરંતુ દેહાત્મ ભાનમાંથી નથી છૂટતા. એટલે એ જે ભાવના જે છે, એ ભાવનું મૂલ્યાંકન ભૌતિકતામાં થઈ જાય. ઘણા વૈષ્ણવને ત્યાં જાઉં તો કઈ જે વેદમાં સજેસ્ટ ન કરેલા તેવા બધા ધંધાઓ લઈને બેસી જાય છે. એ બધું ક્યાંથી આવ્યું? ભૌતિકતાથી અંજાઈને સિદ્ધિ માટે આ લોકો કરતા લાલાની સેવા. તો પુષ્ટ, એ લોકો પુષ્ટિ એટલે આત્માનું પોષણ, તેને બદલે શરીરના પોષણ ઉપર આવી જાય. એટલે that is a dangerous path. એના કરતા વિધિ ભક્તિમાં જવું સારું. પહેલા દેહાત્મ ભાન છોડાવશે તમને, અને પછી ભગવાનની વાસ્તવિક સેવામાં તમને મૂકશે. ત્યાં સુધી બધું કાચું સમજવાનું. આજે ક્લાસમાં જે ભક્તિશાસ્ત્રીનો ક્લાસ હતો ને, તો તેમાં સ્પષ્ટતા એની થયેલી છે કે ભક્તિની પ્રગતિમાં નવ ક્રમ આપેલા છે, એ પ્રગતિ ની વિધિ ભક્તિ કહેવામાં આવે. આદવ શ્રદ્ધા તતો સાધુ સંગત ભજન ક્રિયા અથવા અનર્થ નિવૃત્તિ તતો નિષ્ઠા રૂચિ આસક્તિ ભાવ અને પ્રેમ. તો જ્યાં સુધી અનર્થ નિવૃત્તિ નહીં કરે તો નિષ્ઠા નહીં જાગે. નિષ્ઠાવાન હંમેશા લિબરેટેડ હોય, નિષ્ઠામાં લિબરેશન આવે, મુક્તિ થયેલી હોય, અને મુક્તિમાં પછી લાલાને માટે વાસ્તવિક ટેસ્ટ જાગવો જોઈએ. જે મુક્ત નહીં થયા હોય તે શરીરના પોષણને માટે ધર્મ અપનાવી લે, આત્માના પોષણ માટે નહીં અપનાવે.
એની ખબર કેવી રીતે પડે?
કયા શું ધંધો કરે છે?
એટલે જેમ આપણા બા હોય, સપોઝ લાઈક વડીલ હોય, એ લોકો તો બીજું કઈ કરતા ન હોય, પણ લાઈક
છતાં લિબરેટેડ. યા રાગ માર્ગ જે છે, રાગ માર્ગ ઇઝ વેરી મચ કેરફુલી ટુ બી એચીવ થ્રુ વેરી બોનાફાઈડ અને એક્સપર્ટ ગાઈડન્સ. જે ઇન્દ્રિય તૃપ્તિ કરતા હોય ને તે લોકોને રાગમાં બિલકુલ નહીં, એમાં તો બહુ મોટો સેક્રિફાઈસ આવે. સો હરિદાસ ઠાકુર હરિનામ ચિંતામણીમાં એમ કહે છે કે વિધિ ભક્તિમાંથી પસાર થઈને જે વ્યક્તિ ઓટોમેટિકલી રાગમાર્ગ ઉપર આવશે તેને તેનો ભાવ બહુ સ્થાયી હશે, એટલે સ્થિર ભાવ હશે. જ્યારે સીધા રાગમાર્ગ ઉપર ચડી જનાર નો સ્થાયી ભાવ અનેક અનેક યુગો પછી પણ નથી આવતો, એટલે વાય ડુ વી ટેક રિસ્ક? સો હજારો વૈષ્ણવોમાંથી પુષ્ટાવીને કોણ સેવા કરવા તૈયાર? બહુ ઓછા, રાઈટ? હવે એ પુષ્ટાવેલામાંથી પણ કેટલા વૈષ્ણવોને દેહાત્મ મુક્તિ થઈ છે? જ્યારે રૂપક ગોસ્વામીએ જે પ્રોસેસ આપેલી છે કે સામટા બધા એક પદ્ધતિમાંથી પસાર થતા હોય ને દેહની મુક્તિ માટે એ લોકો અનર્થ અને નિવૃત્તિ કરતા થઈ ગયા હોય, તો પછી મુક્તિનો માર્ગ બધાને માટે સરળ કરી નાખેલો છે. અને ત્યાર પછી રૂચિ જાગે અને આસક્તિ ભાવ અને પ્રેમ પર પહોંચી શકે. પણ એમાં પણ કુશળ માર્ગદર્શન તો જોઈએ, પણ જે શિસ્ત અથવા ડિસિપ્લિનનું જે અનુપાલન કરતા હોય. સો જ્યારે અહીં કોઈ શિસ્ત નથી, ડિસિપ્લિન નથી, અને પુષ્ટિ માર્ગમાં જો ખરેખર પ્રખર આચાર્ય મુક્તિ પામીને જો કરી બતાવતા હોય ભક્તિ, તેવા કેટલા? બહુ ઓછા. તો પછી એના અનુયાયીઓ ખ્યાલ જે આ પુષ્ટિ માર્ગમાં વલ્લભાચાર્ય વિષ્ણુ સ્વામી સંપ્રદાય એટલે રુદ્ર સંપ્રદાય નું આચાર્ય પદ સંભાળ્યું, પણ એમના ગયા પછી નહી, વિઠ્ઠલેશ એટલે વંશજ પરંપરા, ગુરુ શિષ્ય પરંપરામાંથી વંશજ પરંપરા જયારે આવી ગઈ ત્યારે એ હંમેશા ડિક્લાઇન થવાનું. ઇટ્સ અ બિગ જમ્પ. અને એ અધિકાર ખાલી વૈષ્ણવ, ઇટ મીન્સ ઇટ ઇઝ ડેન્જરસ. ધ ક્વેશ્ચન હિયર શી હેઝ બીન ટેલિંગ દેટ યુ નો ઇન વલ્લભ સંપ્રદાય દે આર ટોલ્ડ ટુ વર્શિપ ધી બેબી ફોર્મ ઓફ કૃષ્ણ લાડુ ગોપાલ ફોર ધ પર્પઝ ઓફ ધ નરિશમેન્ટ of the soul. So you have to take care, you have to take care of Radha Gopal as if it is your son, but worship him according to Ashtakaliya Leela of Yashoda.
Sorry, excuse me, what's
Ashtakaliya Leela? Means 8 prahar hote hain din ke. How Mother Yashoda took care it is in Srimad Bhagavatam. So with only that you know baby form has to be worshipped. Actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade Vallabhacharya not to indulge in the Pauganda Leela of Radha Krishna. So they do not know Radharani. They keep obscure, no worship of Radharani. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade them. No, you do the pushti. Pushti means portion, nourishment. But it's of the soul. But and for that one is given a free access for spontaneous devotional service. just imitating what Mother Yashoda would do. But they don't take care to become free from the clutches of the three modes of material nature. There are no such teachings. Raganuga Bhakti is a bona fide process, and Vidhi Bhakti is a bona fide process. But both require freedom from the effects of the three modes of material nature. So who is there to see? Vaishnava the panno ducho nakina. They are always under intoxication. You know, how do they do? While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade us except the tambul, alright, but put in the sacred. Don't eat. Shriji Bhava pari atma ape ame lehi lehi maathe chadayu ne jandar variyari hoi to variyari chai ne. That's about it, but don't eat that. But you know, it becomes an obsessive habit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a habit forming thing. So under the pretense it is Mahaprasad, you know, the sense gratification is going on. So material nature, you know, can corrupt our mind. It cannot corrupt Mahaprasad. A proper honoring of Mahaprasad is a proper set of mind. A mindset should be checked. Then and then it can be observed. So there are a lot of pitfalls in treading that path which is so-called easy, that you can pour your heart's feeling but without purification, that is not even asked for. Therefore we have to be very careful. Those who are very serious and given up their life in service of that Bal Gopal, then it's a different, and they must work under the very able guidance of a bona fide guru.
Okay.
Even from seminal succession. And he must be free himself. But you see their lifestyle. See their lifestyle.
So, Maharaj, when you know how in same question, I think, but you know how in India they worship Lalu Gopalji and they dedicate their whole life worshipping him. So, where do they stand then?
How do they sacrifice their life in worshipping? Means what?
It's usually they just every time they are thinking of Lalu Gopal, that he hasn't eaten, he's had time to sleep, it's lunchtime, like things like that. Or that, they think about
that. That's all right. If they can think during the time of death, then and then it would be worthwhile. And that acid test is still remaining.
So, like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna ji says that. At the time of death, if you can't remember, if you're a devotee, if you can't remember me, I remember you. So will he?
No, he doesn't say that.
Something.
No. He says it is your obligation to remember me. He doesn't say that. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram sap prayati madbhavam jati natra samshaya. He doesn't say I will remember you.
It's something
where,
if you are a devotee, then.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada says that if devotee dies in accident, then what happens to him? Krishna takes charge of the devotee in the degree of his devotional service and protects him. He protects otherwise also. Otherwise also. Even though he is not an elevated devotee, his devotional service, whatever he has rendered, is a permanent asset. Krishna protects the devotional service and the credit of it. But the devotee has to leave the body. He can't regret why he is leaving the body. Oh Krishna, you are unfair. No, that is not devotional service. No complaint. Welcome.
It was in one of Indrajit Maharaj's diary when Shridhar Maharaj one of the Maharaj was living there. He was taking him to Mayapur, and he was saying that I'm in so much pain, then how will I remember Krishna? And the Indrajit Maharaj said, no, he'll remember him.
No. Krishna never forgets the devotional service rendered by the devotee. Right? But it is the obligation of the devotee to remember him always. So he becomes exasperated. Prabhupada sings this beautiful sloka, of Kavi Kulashekhar. Krishna Tvadiya Padapankaja Panjarante Adyeva Visatu Me Manasa Rajahansa Prana Prayana Samaya Kapapata Pitta Kantavarodam Smaranam Kutasthi. At the time of living the body, my throat will be choked up by Kapapitta Vayu, and I will not be able to remember. Better take me right now, because my mind is dwelling in Krishna consciousness. That is his request. But this request is making him eligible for liberation from the effect of the three modes of material nature or Kapapitta Vayu. Right? So his consciousness remains in tune. And such a person becomes eligible to even tolerate the grip of Kapapitta Vayu at the time of death. A devotee never regrets any position if it is adverse to his body, mind or intelligence. He thinks it is Krishna's blessing. So this is the qualification of a devotee for liberation. Liberation means you have to give a false conception of who you are. You are not this or you are not that, and you are nobody. What you are? Then I am an insignificant servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. Not even directly Krishna. Gopi Partuh Padakamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Anudasa. So, knowing our insignificance in the whole material cosmic manifestation, we don't have any importance. But if we feel we are important for ourselves at least, then it will be realized by the mercy of the Lord Himself. Without that, no. So mercy of the Lord is conveyed by the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, association of the devotees and conducting all the spiritual activity of devotional service under their guidance is very important. Alone we cannot do.
So Maharaj, if coming back to the same thing, those people who spend their life looking after Krishna, Ladu Gopan, and even if they are not initiated, they are not in the parampara or anything, so is there any use of doing anything?
They are not introduced. Yeah, but they are not introduced to Krishna, and they do not know Krishna's true nature then. Even those who are worshipping Krishna for ages without chanting the holy name, their worship is nowhere. Doesn't have any accuracy. It is acting as a pious activity only, in ignorance. And that may lead only to the upper planetary system. That's about it. But if you are desirous to go back home, back to Godhead, then you have to follow a very secure method. That is Rupa Goswami is giving.
So even if somebody is not initiated, it's the same thing, you're not introduced to Krishna there because you haven't gotten through.
Naturally, because he is not inducted into authorized school of thought. It's a university. Without admission in the university, in a particular conclusive aspect of your performance of devotional service, how is it that you're going to graduate? Somebody should be there. It's not like an external examination I'm conducting. No. You need a personal tutorship, personal guidance, personal everything in person. You know? And why to gamble?
Guru Maharaj, sometimes, you know, even like they are not initiated, somehow, because sometimes it's very difficult to get initiation. So then they want to worship at the same time they are chanting. So
have faith and have connection. You know, you can perform devotional service under the care of a spiritual master, even instructive spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada. You can continue that. When the time and full faith is restored, see, it's not an unknown path that you have to trade in. If you become fearful of any path that has stumbling blocks, but bhakti is very independent. If you are serious, and if you have flow of bhakti, then it can penetrate all the stumbling blocks, just like the river Ganges. Right? So, those fears and misconceptions, because of circumstantial evidence and other things, transcendental process do not wait for these things. Krishna consciousness cannot wait. Cannot wait. On the way along, you will get proper guidance. But do it. If you think your guru is, or somebody in the guruship is not serious, therefore you are hesitating, but you should be that much serious then. As a candidate, it's a complimentary thing. A spiritual master who is bona fide, and a candidate should be also bona fide. Then and then there will be progress without animosity. You know? The Shastras tell very straightforward things, no hiding. Sometimes we raise up some questions which are very hypothetical. Rather, it cannot be proven by practice even, or even our qualifications remain short of it. But yet we do have a question, because we hear say so many things, and it's Kali Yuga. So many things will come up. But unless and until both spiritual master and candidate or disciple are qualified and in investing faith in each other, then and then there will be progress. Prabhupada sums it up in this way: the entire jurisdiction of Krishna consciousness depends upon the relationship of Guru and Krishna. Who is going to give you or connect your relationship with Krishna? So therefore, it's very important. Without relationship, how can you know the person? He has to be properly introduced. In personalism, if I don't know you, but I heard of you, do you think it's good enough to love you? if I have seen you, does it make it good enough that I can love you? No, I have to build up a proper relationship with you. I have to act to sustain that relationship. And at the end, I have to expect the love exhibited. Not simply hypothetically understood that you love me, not exchanges would be there. This is personalism. But sometimes our desires are so much overpowering personalism, we tend to remain impersonal. But Krishna is personal. You can't become impersonal to him. And he set up the whole system, you know, for those who want to become impersonalists. Means those who don't want to build relationship with him. Even though he's a person, you are a person, and yet you want to act impersonal. How do we behave? Impersonal. When husband and wife fights, you know, they become impersonal immediately. They are person, yet they become impersonal. So we have that kind of animosity with Lord Krishna.
Guru Maharaj, yesterday you explained us, you know, we are the part and parcel of the Lord. And quality, we have the same quality as the Lord, right? That's what we inherit from Him. So, this envious quality because of which we are here in this material world.
Now,
so
enviousness is... Enviousness is an individual desire that put in the conflict of his desire.
So okay. Where does that come?
That comes from the living entity, not Krishna. See, living entity is an insignificant part and parcel. When he stops thinking that he is not dependent upon Krishna, because he has these three qualities, why does he need Krishna? So Krishna says, okay, I can fulfill that desire. If you want to forget me, you can't forget alone. I will have to make you forget. You have no capacity to forget me. But I can fulfill your desire. Okay? Tathastu. Forget it. Forget. He is keeping target of Lord Krishna's pleasure in his study. Krishna will bless you. And you too. Good. Our kids are growing up in Krishna consciousness. They become so smart. They will never forget Krishna. Even though they will have a rough ride, doesn't matter, but they won't give up Krishna consciousness. We have witnessed our first generation. You are second generation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they always come back
to life.
Even like with
their
ride, if they got a rough ride, they always come back.
Oh yeah. Guaranteed. It's such a contagious disease. I mean, it may take time, but it is going to. Rest assured.
Sometimes the association is lacking. Sometimes, you know, people are in a remote place where there is no association.
Yeah, like here, I was thinking about that.
So, Maharaj, to what extent Prabhupada's books give them association if they have all the books in
100%. 100%. Who was telling me that, Maharaj, I cannot read. I want to read, but I cannot read. I said, listen. Here, you know, you will associate with Srila Prabhupada. Right. Right. You asked me a question, remember?
Which one?
You want to read, but you don't have time to read. What did I say to you?
Listen when you are doing yourself.
See? Keep hearing Srila Prabhupada. Don't leave a moment go idle. You will associate with Srila Prabhupada. You will appreciate Srila Prabhupada.
Maharaj, there are 9 processes of devotional service, 9 bona fide processes, Sharanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So in Kali Yuga, do we have to have perfection in all 9 or just 1 people in that?
All the 8 processes are subservient to 1 process. You know? And which one? So, if you concentrate on Smarana, why should a Prabhupada is so much interested to tell about Prahlad Maharaj's story so much intensely? It is the most attractive story for the kids even. Everybody knows about Prahlad Maharaj because he got perfection by Smarana.
So when we chant, it covers everything. Smarnam.
Chant or with all senses engaged will cover.